Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Our nation, and that is the survival of the traditional family.
This is a godly, wonderful, devoted, healthy, biblical family that adores you.
And I believe that people that pray and people that trust the Lord and go to church faithfully, those are the people that have the most wonderful, successful marriages. What about you?
May you leave this assembly committed to have a family in your house where the father is the loving, compassionate leader, the mother unites the family, and the children are filled with the grace and the goodness that comes from God our Father above.
Me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And until you make that decision, dad, husband, mom, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord.
So glad you're here this morning for week two of our series called Strong Families. This year in 2019, we're focusing a whole lot on what the core values of our church should be, what we're claiming them to be, and how we can become the people that live out what we say we live. And so I would encourage you all year long to make the church attendance a priority as we discover the core values of our church. Today I want to talk to you real quickly about fighting for your family. How many of you know there's definitely a force, there's an enemy that's out there fighting against your family. Did you know that? Whether you're a single person, whether you're a married couple, or whether you have a house full of kids, or maybe you're an empty nester, there is an enemy that's out to destroy not just what you have now, but what the Lord would like to give you in the future. So today we're going to talk about how can we fight for our family. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to be looking there in just a moment. Let me just make a reference back to that first video you saw about life groups. Life groups are starting tonight. And if you have not joined a life group, at the end of the service, I'll be at the table at the back, and Jennifer will be there with me, and Jennifer can give you the when and the where and the how. So if you didn't get on board a few weeks ago, you can get on board today and join a life group, and I would encourage you to do that. Nehemiah chapter 4, we're going to pick up here in the word of scripture. It says, "Meanwhile, the people of Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is given out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them, and we will kill them and put an end to the work.'" Let me just make a stop sign real quick. Let me make a pause. That scripture is the intent of the enemy when it comes to our families. He wants to come in among us, among your marriage, among your family, among those pivotal relationships in your life. And he wants to put an end to what God has birthed and what God wants to do in your life. And then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." In other words, they were kind of freaking out, right? They kept saying the same thing 10 times over and over again. "Wherever we turn, they're going to attack us. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at all the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And after I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, to the officials, and to all the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome.'" And here's our theme for today. "And fight for your families." Would you say that phrase with me? Fight for your families. Say it one more time. Fight for your families. If you don't fight for your family, who will? If you don't fight for your marriage, who will? If you live in some sort of dream world where I know we have people in this room who have been married 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, some maybe even 60 years. If you think that happens by just circumstance or chance, you are not tuned in very well to reality. The way people's marriages and families make it is because people choose, we're going to fight for our family. Instead of fighting with each other, we're going to fight for each other. So don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Fight for your families. Fight for your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. And when the enemies heard that we were aware of their plot. And I hope you are aware, verse number 15. I hope you're aware that the enemy does have a scheme against your family. Okay? And when the enemy heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned, each to our own work. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that today you have a message for every man and woman in the room today. Young or old alike, single or married, with kids, without kids, we know you have great plans for us. But those plans require us to fight for what you put in our hands. That requires us to fight for the relationships in our lives, for them to be God-honoring relationships and relationships that bring honor to you and brings healing to those that are in them with us today. So I pray you'll do that as we look at God's word, as you speak to us by your Spirit. So Lord, anoint me to speak the word of God, the words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, our minds to hear what you want to say to us today. And we'll give you thanks and praise for it. And everybody said amen. So let me just back up just a minute. You may be wondering, what is this scripture talking about? What kind of wall are they talking about? Well, just think about it this way. In these days that they were living in, every significant city had a wall around it. Maybe you've seen pictures of those cities on the Discovery Channel or some kind of training or biblical picture you've seen. Most cities in biblical days of any significance at all had a wall around it. And basically the size of that wall and the condition of that wall sort of symbolized, both practically and just metaphorically, it symbolized how strong and how secure that city was. And a city with broken down walls was an easy target for any enemy. Matter of fact, one of the first things an opposing enemy wanted to do was to break down the walls so that they could come and go as they wanted to. And when it comes to our families today, the enemy is trying his very best to break down the perimeters of our relationships, the perimeters of our families, so that he can come in and wreak havoc like he wants to as well. But Nehemiah shows up and he tells the people who are living in the city with broken down walls, he says, listen, you don't have to live your life at the convenience of the enemy. You don't have to live your life in mercy of the enemy. You don't have to live your life to where the enemy can just come and go and rob from you however he wants to. He lets us know that you can rebuild the wall and that God can protect you and God can help you and God can strengthen you and you can once again have security in the power of God back in your life. How many want the security of God and the power of God in your life? Well, in order for that to happen, we got to do what Nehemiah says. We got to fight for our families. Once again. Well, how do I fight for my family? I want to give you three ways this morning real quickly. Number one, if you're going to fight for your family, you've got to guard the low places of your life. Nehemiah said, I station people by families and I station them by the low parts of their life. Guys, if we could throw that picture up there of the wall. There's obviously different places around the city that Nehemiah, where he's encouraging people, there's places where the wall is missing. And those are easy places for the enemy to come in, physically come in and take you what he wants to. But here's what I've discovered. My life and your life also has some low places. Now, I'm not talking about low places as in we have days where we don't feel good. I'm talking about we have low places where we know we're more vulnerable than we should be. There was a TV show several years ago called The Weakest Link. Remember that show? And at the end of the show, if you were the weakest link, that lady with the British accent, she would just look at you and she would say, "You are the weakest link." And you were, you know, booted. I thought, man, that's so harsh just to tell somebody they're the weakest link. But let's just be honest. Sometimes we are the weakest link. Sometimes the enemy exploits us to get access to our families, to our marriages. And so we got to become keenly aware of what the low places are in our life. Because here's the deal. We all have them. We all have areas of our life where we are more susceptible to the enemy's devices and his schemes and his attacks and his temptation than others are. And we've got to know where those places are. For some of us, you know, that low place might be around drugs or alcohol, because we've suffered in that place before. We've fallen in that area before. Some people, the low place of their life is pornography. It's been a place of addiction. Others, it's bitterness. You're easily offended, and the enemy uses that to bring destruction among your family or with other people. Some people have low places of jealousy. Others have low places of just trusting God of certain areas of your life, whether it's a relationship or finances. But here's what I know. The enemy will keep pushing you and testing you until he finds out what the low places in your life are. No one knows your weak spots like the enemy. And he's going to do his very best to exploit the low places in your life to rob from you, to steal from you. So you've got to fight for your family. And the way you fight for your family, is you fight him with faithfulness. You fight him with prayer. You fight him with commitment. You fight him with love for God and love for people and love for your family. But you've got to decide that I'm going to stand in the gap and I'm going to take care of these low places. Well, Pastor, how do I do it? Here it is in a simple sentence. You do it by living a God-honoring lifestyle. Now, some of you say, Pastor, what do you mean living a God-honoring lifestyle? How does my lifestyle protect my family? Well, the word says in Proverbs that as water reflects a face, so one's life reflects the heart. So how we live our life is actually, it's an indication of what's in our heart. Now Megan had to go home and get our kids dressed so she can bring them back for second service. So y'all don't tell her I said this. But there's this thing that goes on in my house. Sometimes our daughters will say something, act a certain way. And Megan will get frustrated at them. And when she gets frustrated with them, I've noticed she's frustrated with them because they're acting the way she acts. This is a safe space, right? Our oldest daughter, who's now 4, she refuses to go to bed without her room clean. Not because we want it clean, but because she wants it clean. And if her baby sister, if she gets ready to go to bed and one of her baby sister's toys is in her room, she'll gather those toys that aren't supposed to be in her room and she'll put them in the hallway because she cannot go to sleep unless her room is straight. And sometimes we're like, Megan is like, come on, you, Stella, you got to go to bed. We don't have time to clean this room. You just go to bed. We'll deal with this stuff tomorrow. She's like, no, mommy, I can't. And she'll just go into this, you know, this cleaning spree, getting everything right so she can go to bed. Just about every night, 10 o'clock rolls around, I'll say, Megan, I'm going to bed. And she'll say something like this. Well, let me just pick up the house a few minutes. And then I'll come to bed. And I've gotten to where when I see this take place, I look at Megan, I look at Stella, and I'll say this. Apple tree. Right? Because I understand that there's what's being lived out is actually what's being passed down. And one of the best ways we can live, we can guard what we pass down, is by guarding what we live out. So we got to make sure the way we live our lives is not causing anyone to stumble, especially those who are closest to us. That's why Galatians chapter 6 says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Here's the second way we fight for our families is we fight for God-honoring relationships by investing in our families. Verse number 13, Nehemiah, he posted people in the low places, but he posted them by families. He didn't post them by age. He didn't post them by life experience or education. He posted them by families because he knew that we are most effective fighting the enemy when we fight him together. I was reading these statistics the other day. This article about, they actually studied 247 different ministers who had had a moral failure in their life. And they were trying to figure out what caused the moral failure. They're trying to figure out how do these great men of God make room for this failure in their life. And there's about four or five things that all these men had in common. But the number one thing that they all had in common was this. Before the temptation and before their failure came a season of isolation. Did you know the enemy wants to isolate you? He wants to isolate you from God-honoring relationships, whether that be with your spouse or your kids or with the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man should sharpen another. The enemy's going to try to isolate you from relationships that build you. Here's something I know. All of us in this room, we have two types of relationships. We have life-giving relationships, and we have life-taking relationships. There are life-giving people in our life and life-sucking people in our life. Well, pastor, shouldn't I be friends with everyone? Sure, but if you look around your life and every relationship you have is a life-taking relationship and you don't have any life-giving relationships, then you are on a trajectory of bankruptcy. Emotionally, spiritually, we need people. We fight for our families by investing in our families, investing in good relationships. One person said it like this: the way you spell love is T-I-M-E. How can I show my wife or my husband that I love them? How can I invest in my kids in a way that they'll know I love them? You spell love, Tim. T-I-M-E. You spell it with time. You give them time. And you don't give the person the 10-year-old turkey, right? You don't give them your leftover time. You make time with them a priority. You invest in them. And Nehemiah said, I want you to invest in one another. I want you to fight for one another. So I'm going to position you in groups of families. I believe all across this room this morning are people. You're in families today. If you're not, even if you're a single person, you say, Pastor, I walked in the room by myself today. Well, guess what? God just placed you in a family this morning. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. You're welcome here today. God's placed you in a family this morning. We are and will be your family. God's placed us together not to fight with each other, but to fight for each other. So be willing to invest in one another. And make sure we're not just taking, but we're giving life. And here's the third way we fight for our family, is you keep God at the center of your family. And if you're taking notes, you can even put like another term for this point. Sometimes I fight when I'm deciding what am I gonna say. But instead of saying keeping God at your center, the center of your family, I'll just almost describe this portion of scripture as this: never underestimate the God factor in your life. See, in the middle of Nehemiah saying, guard the low places and stand with your family and fight for your families, he goes on to say his last bit of instruction is this, is to remember the Lord, how great and mighty he is. Sometimes we live our whole life just trying to calculate what we can do in our own strength and our own power, and we forget the God factor. We forget that with him, we can do abundantly above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine, because he's helping us this morning. Nehemiah says, remember how great and awesome the Lord is. Here's what I've discovered. Sometimes we quickly forget how awesome God is. We just assume that what we see is possible. That's why people were freaking out when they came to Nehemiah. They said, 10 times over, wherever we turn, they're going to attack us. Nehemiah, wherever we turn our backs, we're hopelessly doomed for failure is what they were saying. Nehemiah said, fight you for your families. Fight for them by guarding the low places. And fight for them by your family, with a relationship with one another. But he said, here's the third way you fight for them, is you remember that we serve a mighty God. And what you think is impossible, God will make possible. If you'll do what Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33 says, that you'll seek first him and his kingdom, then God will take care of things that you thought were impossible. I've asked Joey Goshen to come this morning and share with us what God's been doing in his life Several months ago, he began to tell me some things needed to happen and some things that God was doing. And Joey, when you first started telling me what you needed to happen, the fleshly part of my life, even the spiritual part of my life, said this: boy, that would take a miracle. But Joey has been just doing what he could do, seeking God first. And God has really done a miracle in his life the last few months. So I asked him, Joey, would you come this morning and share that with us this morning? And if you don't know Joey, you know, he serves as one of the deacons of our churches. If he sneezes, it usually sounds like he said something about Red River Dodge. But I'll tell you what else. If you don't know him, he loves Jesus, and he's one of the greatest soul winners I've ever met. He tells people constantly about Jesus, and I just believe what God's doing in your life is going to open more and more doors for you to do that thing. Amen. Thanks for sharing with us. Amen.
All right, guys. Good morning. Hey, thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. I appreciate it. This morning, I want to I've got 10 minutes, so I just want to kind of expose my past to maybe help you guys this morning, just to let you know what God has done in my life. Some of you guys know me very well. Some of you guys don't. The same streets that we live in is the same streets I used to run around and do drugs. I was bound up. I had a lot of chains of addictions in my life. I was pretty much trash. I mean, I allowed so much sin to conquer my life that there was no freedom. I was running from the police. Lone Oak County knew me very, very well. They knew me as just a bad person. I had tons of addictions in my life, but God had changed my life. And this morning, I just want to kind of tell you a brief story, and then I'll turn the service back over to Pastor. But several years ago, of course, being bound up, you know, there's a lot of things that happen when you're on drugs and you go to jail. You get locked up. Before long, they build a case, and before long, that case turns into something serious, and it was very serious. I got sentenced to 20 years in prison. In Lone Oak County, I was standing before the judge, sentenced 20 years in prison. And you guys see me this morning as the manager at Red River Dodge Chrysler Jeep on billboards. And if you're listening to the radio, you will hear me say, hey, make that beautiful drive to Heber Springs, Arkansas. And you'll see me on a commercial. But my life hadn't always been grand. I had so many addictions in my life. I was so bound up. There was no freedom. And I was running from any and everything that meant anything to me, because I allowed my flesh to be the Lord of my life. And then one day, whenever I was in prison and I was bound up in shackles, and Pastor, I may start preaching here, but I'm going to try to refrain from it. Whenever I was locked up, I kneeled at the cross and I said, God, if you will be my Lord, personal Savior, God, I will serve you 100%. And I remember that scripture whenever Pastor sent me the notes. It was so powerful. Matthew 6:33, how real is that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, my righteousness, and then I'll give you these other things, which is life. I will breathe life back into you. And I cried and I said, God, I'm going to serve you wholeheartedly with all my might if you'll just come to me. And that presence of God was so powerful. Brother Steve, it was like whenever I see you at a basketball game and you walk up to me. It was that strong, and I could be a friend to Brother Steve and Mark and Pastor, and he was there for me, and the Lord came alive in my life. And I said, okay, God, I did things my way. I don't want to do things my way anymore, God. I'm going to do things your way, God. I want to be that tree that's planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth my fruit in my season. My leaf will not wither, and whatsoever I do shall prosper. I want to be that person, God, that you'd have for me. There was something that Pastor had sent me, and it was so powerful. I want to read to you this morning. It said, you enlarge my path under me so that my feet did not slip. The path may be difficult and the gate may be narrow. Can I tell you this morning that whenever you live for God, and I'm trying to cram all this in 10 minutes, when you live for God, you have to be disciplined. You have to understand the Word of God is true. It's the living Word of God for a reason. And then whenever you start applying the Word of God to your life, Sister Pickens, you start seeing God bless you, and there's a covering. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. But first it starts with you. As for me and this house, Joey Goshen, I'm going to live for God. And God's going to help me maneuver through life and take care of any and every situation that I may face. That's with my job. That's with my being a husband. That's with being a father. And he said he will enlarge my path underneath me. But listen to this. It goes on and said, but let me tell you, there is a whole lot of life to be accessed through the narrow gate. And his name is Jesus. And as we step into grace and through the narrow gate, he leads us into a life of glorious potential. Let me tell you something this morning. I'm not perfect, but I live for God. I'm going to live for him wholeheartedly with all my might. I want the word of God to come alive in my life, Brother Mike. And it has. So for the last several years, I've been serving God. And God has strategically put me in a certain place. Pastor texts me one day. He said, Brother Joey, you're placed strategically by God, something on in that line. And I knew it. I knew that God, because he's the Lord of my life, and he has placed me in a certain place this morning. I'm here this morning to share my story because of God's grace and mercy. You know, and as you go through life, you know, God will bless you supernaturally. And a prosperous anointing will overtake you. There will be a covering of blessing and safety that comes over your life. Man, I don't want weak parts in my wall. I want God to be able to protect me. But we have to do that by being disciplined and focused on what God wants in our life. It's not easy sometimes. You know, what are you going to feed more? Are you going to feed your flesh or are you going to feed your spirit? Amen. It's important to feed your spirit. But this morning, I just want to tell you real quick. And Mark, I'm not going to speak that long. I know you're timing me. But I didn't get up here to expose my past so you would look at me any different. I got up here to expose my past to let you know how powerful God is. I can't wait for the next 15 years of my life. But, you know, with whenever you get sentenced, you have what you call a felony. And although the Bible says, he who the Son sets free is what? Yeah. That don't mean that man feels the same way, that's good though. I mean, right? Because, I mean, whenever you commit a felony, man, it's a serious thing and it will haunt you for a long time. The Word of God says that the Lord would not withhold any good thing from those who love him. Love him and to serve him, to show him integrity, to live for him. And so I got to praying and I was like, God, I need a supernatural miracle in my life. God, I know you set me free, but God, I'm still bound by chains of my felony. I Brother Steve, I couldn't hunt with my son. Chris, I couldn't buy a gun. I couldn't even shoot a gun. I couldn't walk in and put my name in the raffle drawing at an event that we had sponsored, because if I won the gun, then I could get arrested. I couldn't be around a pistol. And so I said, God, please, will you please remove that chain from that felony for me? God, I just want to be able to go hunt with my son. God, I messed up. I know, but God, you love me. God, I've been obedient to your word. God, please, will you please remove that chain from my life? And God puts favor in your life when you serve him. Man, I could sit up here for hours and tell you about the favor of God, just living for him. But I've talked to Pastor. Me and him get to play golf a lot. Can I tell you something this morning? I love my pastor. Amen. Isn't he awesome? I mean, I love him. But I got to praying. And I said, God, I need those chains to be broken. And I'm here to tell you this morning that what I hold in my hand is a pardon. From the governor of Arkansas. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Thank you.
Stay with me for a minute. Oh. You know, and I asked Joey to share that this morning because, you know, the Bible says that Jesus doesn't just forgive us, but he justifies us, amen. Right? Which the simplest way to define that word is simply this. It's just as if I never sinned. You know, and when Joey got this pardon from the governor, this is going to allow him to do things he couldn't do. not just in pleasure, but in desires for business or future. In the same way, just as this stamps out every bit of evidence that his past ever had on him. Do you know that's exactly what Jesus does in us when we turn towards him? When we say, Father, forgive me and I commit my life to you. When Jesus forgives us, he doesn't just forgive us, but then keep a record on the back shelf. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our trespasses from us. And I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning because we're going to pray. And here's how we're going to pray this morning. Number one, I asked Joey to share that story because your life matters. The life you live for him matters. And what God can do through your life has no limits.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.